that has kind of happened and how God has worked. So hopefully now we are all certain and we know a little bit more than maybe 5 or 6 year old Ariel did. That's great. So why? Why do we need to know about testimonies? Because we already do it. Yeah, I had to get this one in here. Okay. So there's a few things that really the Bible talks about in terms of why testimony is important and why we should go ahead and do the testimony. And first things first is to be prepared. Okay, so Jesus talked about the Holy Spirit teaching us what to say in our hour of need. He told us that in Luke 12, verse 12. And that is obviously true. Okay, the Holy Spirit will always be there with us to help us. But 1 Peter 3:15, as you can see on the screen, talks about how we should always be ready to give a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. And that's obviously given in the context of severe persecution of the church. Okay, hopefully this kind of looks familiar from the Creed series that we looked at recently. That's why the Creed came about, so that we had a defense ready. And from the reading that we just had, defense, we know, is exactly what Paul calls it. He calls it this in Acts 26 that we read, and he also gives a version of his testimony in Acts 22 as well. And that is, again, because he's giving a defense to people, to judges in front of him. So if somebody asks you why you believe in God, and we must all have been asked that at some point, or if not, then it's going to happen soon or eventually, we need an answer. Otherwise, we don't do God justice, and we certainly don't sound very convincing. If you're wondering why there's a picture of Batman on the screen, that is because when I think of being prepared, I think of Batman. Adam West, in this film, was so prepared that he had a spray of shark repellent on his belt, on his bat belt. So he was prepared, and this is it. You guys should have the equivalent. You know, you should have some shark repellent testimony spray, maybe, you know, I don't know. We'll figure that out in a bit, but that's essentially what I'm getting at. So, why do we testify? So we want to be encouraged and encouraging. Okay. That is the main reason why we testify. So, first of all, I want to come to you this verse, because you can't really talk about testimonies in church without covering Revelation 12, verse 11, that says, "They conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they did not love their lives in the face of death." So with this verse, we know that testimonies have power. All right. And if they have power over the enemy, then why wouldn't we spend time doing testimonies, learning about why we testify and putting one together? So we know that stuff happens, okay? So all good and perfect things come from the Lord. We know that. It says it in James 1, verse 17. But bad stuff does happen too. That is part of life. But that's not because of God, okay? We'll be really clear about that. But lots of good can come from the bad stuff. And we're not going to cover all of that here because it's quite extensive, but there are loads of great good things that can come out of bad situations and suffering. But we're going to specifically look at how it can impact our testimony, because your suffering can actually be an opportunity to advance the kingdom of God. So Philippians 1 verse 12 says that, Paul says, "Now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has actually resulted in the advance of the gospel." Okay, so, and he's talking about a series of suffering that he's been through. So we just need to be active in putting it in our testimony, so that then we can get the benefit through testimony of the suffering that we've experienced, because hopefully we've come out the other side. I'm going to come to that though as well. So suffering contributes to our testimony. God might comfort us and give us perseverance to get through it, or he might perform a miraculous change. All right, God's doing all sorts, and he might be working in different ways in your lives. But we know that the Spirit intercedes for us and helps our infirmity, because Romans 8:27 makes that really clear. And that is, in the Greek, that is present tense, and the whole sentence together implies this sustained activity, this sustained interceding of the Spirit for us. Okay, so the Spirit is always working with us, okay? So no matter how he helps us, we should share the truth of his help to glorify him. okay, because that's our end goal, to glorify God. So we should really be using whatever material we possibly can in order to bring glory to God. And how are we to remain confident that Romans 8:28 is true? You know, that verse that we always quote, all things work together for the good of those who love God, those who are called according to his purpose. You know, sometimes we, because we are human, we get so emotional or we have really bad experiences and we feel in absolute despair, and that is in many ways a part of life. But then that can often compromise our thought processes and how we actually think logically about glorifying God. And I think it's really important that we hear stories from other people and that we remember our own story that glorifies God, so that even in those moments where we feel like our emotions are overpowering us, actually we can stand firm in the truth that's separate to our human emotions, whatever's going on in our flesh. We know the truth of God and how good he is. So testimony is important for that reason. And sharing testimonies, whether big or small, are faith building. Okay? You can't tell me you didn't hear that story about David Copeland and you didn't think that's amazing. And did your heart feel a little bit lifted? Yeah, the story about Isabel, didn't your heart feel a little bit lifted? Didn't you feel encouraged? Didn't you feel like your faith was building just that tiny little bit? Because I know I did. And I think it's a real shame if you don't feel that kind of way. I just don't understand how you can't. So I think that that is proof that testimonies really can encourage people. So, you know, especially in a world so full of bad news, yeah, or fake news that puts a spin on things, we know what is true in God, don't we? And equally, when we remember our own testimony, the things that God has done for us individually, it helps us to, as it puts it in Psalm 103, forget not his benefits. We sing that quite a bit in church, forget not his benefits. And sometimes we can forget his benefits, can't we? So sometimes it's really important to just even repeat some kind of testimonial mantra to yourself so that you do not forget his benefits. Okay, it's really important. Galatians 6:14 tells us that our boast should be in God. Our testimonies are one of the main ways in which we can and should boast in God to both non-believers and believers alike, to spread the gospel and to encourage one another. Okay, so boast in God, do it through your testimony. Also, circumstances, no matter how seemingly dire, bring opportunities to testify to different people. So Luke 21:12-13 says, "But before all these things, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you. They will hand you over to the synagogues and prisons. You will be brought before kings and governors because of my name. It will lead to an opportunity for you to witness." Okay, so actually, you know, in dire circumstances, if we have a testimony, if we have that defense ready, we can actually use that to glorify God to people we never thought we might reach. All right, so that's kind of what the Bible says. So let's take some action. So quite interestingly in the Bible, we won't discuss this in too much depth because could talk quite a lot about it. But Jesus told certain people he healed to tell of the good things that God has done for them. So take, for example, in Luke 8:39, when he casts out Legion, the set of demons. But then other people he told not to go around talking about it. But time and time again, you read that, and then you see how they couldn't contain themselves. For example, in Mark 1:40-45, the man with the serious skin disease was cleansed, and Jesus said, "Don't go and tell anyone," and then he just went straight away because he was so excited about it. And in a sense, you can't blame him, because essentially we should all really have that desire to share the things that God has done for us. Okay, we should probably be pretty excited about it, and I know that as humans our emotions and our excitement levels vary so much, but if we keep reminding ourselves, if we keep holding firm to that truth of the good things that God has done to us and for us, then we should really have a desire to share that, or to share that underlying joy in the promises that God has given us. So Daniel 4 verse 2 says, I want you all to know about the miraculous signs and wonders the Most High God has performed for me. So God has poured so much light and life into our lives, and no light should be hidden, but put high on a stand to shine. We know that from both Luke 8 and Mark 4. So we should really be shining that light at all times. And the Psalms are full of moments where the writer's love and passion for and experiences of God overflow onto the page. Again, Psalms are full of all those varying human emotions, but there is that constant underlying theme of glorifying God because, do you know what? He's done so much for us. So, for example, I don't know if you can see that. My mouth will tell about your righteousness and your salvation all day long, though I cannot sum them up. I come because of the mighty acts of the Lord God. I will proclaim your righteousness, yours alone. God, you have taught me from my youth, and I still proclaim your wonderful works. Even when I am old and grey, God, do not abandon me. Then I will proclaim your power to another generation, your strength to all who are to come. I chose this as an example because he talks about how he's so overwhelmed with all the things that God has done for him that he can't stop proclaiming it to other people. So he's constantly proclaiming your power, God, and all of these things, your wonderful works. And that's very much what our hopefully relatively consistent feeling towards God is, this desire to constantly share the good news. Okay, it's called good for a reason. And whether we have a particular desire to share what God has done for us or not, one day we might want to, the next day we might not want to, but as long as we believe in him, as long as we call ourselves practicing Christians, we are the salt and light for the world, okay? And our lives and stories reflect Jesus. As soon as you say the word Christian, if you say you go to church, anything like that, you reflect Jesus to the people around you. And surely it does God a lot more justice if we carefully consider the way we speak about his works in our lives. Okay, so it's important to, yes, of course, we can always rely on the Spirit to give us words, like we said at the start, but we should also consider things, because actually we want to do God the most justice we possibly can. We really do want to glorify him in the best way possible. So finally, Matthew 10 verse 32 states, therefore everyone who will acknowledge me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. And if we consider how on that fateful judgment day, we are going to have to give an account for our life and times on earth, you know, sharing our testimony is acknowledging God before men, isn't it? So it might help our case. And I don't know about you, but I'm quite happy to try anything that'll help my case on that old day. So why not? Give it a go, okay? Testimony. So that is, I think, the gist of the theological stuff that we're going to do. And so hopefully that's been clear to you, because the Bible does talk a lot about testimony and how important it is. And it is a great opportunity for us to glorify God. So let me share with you this idea that I had that I soon found out after talking to my dad. It was not an original idea, but aren't they all never original? So matchstick testimonies. The concept is that you light a match and you have until the match burns down to share your testimony. Okay, I got this idea from when I was much younger. When I didn't like the subject of English when I was in school, they talked to us about a poet who did a whole collection of matchstick poems, okay, and that has stayed with me even through the many years where I didn't like English. I do now, obviously, but I didn't back then, but I still love this idea of actually, you know, you can tell a story in a very short amount of time. So my plan for us today is to have a little go at writing a very short, snappy testimony that hopefully we can memorise or memorise the gist of, so that we are prepared to give that defence whenever we might need to. Whether it is in the context of a persecuted defence, if you will, or whether it's just because we want to bring glory to God. Maybe you're sat down with a work colleague and there's that opportunity to say, well, do you know what, actually, I'm a Christian and this has happened to me. So this is, we're going to have a go at the kind of life testimony. So I was converted at this point because of this, and God's done this in my life. And I'm going to take you through the best method I have found, and I've looked at quite a few in order to do this, the best method that I've found for a really short, snappy testimony that's quite easy to remember. And there are different approaches to take if you've been a Christian for what you consider all your life, like me. But I'm going to give you, probably, because I imagine most of us probably had a moment of conversion, maybe a bit later in life, or even as a young child. So I'm going to take you through all that. So I will tell you exactly how. So I'm going to use the suggestion from the C.S. Lewis Institute, great name for an organisation, because I'm going to use a C.S. Lewis quote in a bit to inspire you. But they have really great stuff on the website. So if you want the link to look at the full extensive document, it's not that big, but it does go into it a little bit more in detail than I'm going to. Then it's on the screen, but I can also send you whatever you like, can send you the slides if you like. But basically, to summarise it, it talks about 1, where you were, 2, what didn't work, 3, how God worked, and 4, where you are now. Those are paraphrased to make them shorter. But it looks a little bit like this. So where you were. 1, I felt a lack of purpose. 2, what didn't work? I tried to feel purpose through my work. When I achieved or didn't achieve, I still felt empty and without purpose. Okay, so work didn't work. How God worked. There's too many words of work in this, isn't there? It's okay. How God worked. I came to church with a friend. I can't read it from there. I came to church with a friend, realised that I have done many bad things, but that Christ loves me and took the penalty for my wrongdoing, so I don't have to. I accepted him into my life. So you see how that's got the gospel in there as well? So it's not just, I had a moment where I started to believe. It's, I had a moment where I started to believe in this. This is exactly what God did on the cross for me. And then finally, where you are now. I have found my purpose and identity in my relationship with God and my works for him. I feel loved and secure in the purpose of what I do here on earth before I die and meet my friend God in heaven. Okay, so that's an example of a testimony. Perhaps that one speaks personally to you. Perhaps it does not. But the idea is very, very simple. Four steps. And do you think that wouldn't be too hard to memorize? Remember, we're not talking word for word memorization here. We're talking about really just remembering those four steps so that we definitely cover. And okay, so I was in a bad place. I tried this and it definitely didn't work. But actually, God did work. And making sure we include the gospel in that. And then talking about how much better you are off now you've got God in your life. So, this is one thing. Don't use Christian-specific vocabulary, okay? Because that can confuse people terribly. So, just because this testimony is going to, I'm not saying censor it, of course, but I think we should do one testimony that will fit everyone, okay? Christians understand that, non-Christians understand that too. Whoever you're talking to, hopefully will understand this idea, okay? So I haven't even included in any of the examples the word sin, because certainly when I talk to kids at school, they don't have a clue what sin is. So possibly, unless they're taught by me, they, you know, when they come through the other side, they might not know what the word sin means, who knows? So my advice is not to use any strange jargon or lingo that might put people off and confuse them, because we want to be really to the point with this so that we can bring God the most glory. Yeah. So here is an early conversion example. So the steps are a little bit different for people like me who have just been raised in church. I can't honestly say there's been a time where I have not believed in God, which is pretty amazing. I've been super blessed by that, hugely blessed by my parents for raising me in that way. So if you have an early conversion story, you can talk about where you see people, okay, and what doesn't work for them. And then you can say how God worked and where you are now. So my example is I constantly see people struggling with their identities and trying to find happiness in their careers and through physical gratification. I'm so grateful that I have never had to worry about who I am, because I know my identity is found in Christ Jesus, or Jesus Christ. He gave up his life so that I might be free, as long as I accept him into my heart, and I'm sorry for my wrongdoing. I often mess up, but I know that he loves and forgives me every time, which helps me feel secure in who I am. The world's values are messed up, but I am secure in who I am, and that I'll get to spend my eternity with my friend God. Okay, so a lot of you might be thinking that that's quite a different testimony. It's also, you might say, not including that big life event. So that is my testimony that doesn't include Rocky. Okay, so I do have another version. But just to show you really that you can choose kind of what your testimony focuses on. So you can talk about either... Because depending on the person that you're talking to, you might not want to reveal deeply kind of personal or private information. So you might want something a little bit more general, but can still bring glory to God. And that is totally okay. So I just want to show you that actually something like that can do a very similar job, can't it? So do as, reveal what you're comfortable revealing. Because at the end of the day... you can still bring glory to God. That probably might bring a bit more glory to him if you're not really uncomfortable and, you know, maybe burst into tears on the way. I'm not saying you shouldn't burst. I don't know. Who knows on the situation you might be sharing your testimony in. But essentially what I'd like us to do now is have a go. Are we happy to do that? Yep. Hands up if you've already written down your testimony in very short sentences before. Oh, interesting. So apparently my dad did this when he was much younger at church, and apparently you used to actually have matches. I haven't brought any matches today because I didn't want to, you know, set off any smoke alarms or anything. So, but it might have been a nice bit of warmth. We could have huddled around the match while it was lit. So maybe, you know, next time, guys. But I do have some little handouts of this, okay? So there is... a nice little guide. I wonder if you can see that. I'm a teacher here. So I've got little handouts here. I've got little pieces of paper that you can write on. I've got pencils if you need it. Though I've only got one rubber, so we'll have to share that. But I feel like it's a good opportunity for, you know, us to have fellowship, sharing an eraser. Okay? So, you know, so these will hopefully guide you. If you don't know where to start, then use this. It will tell you an idea. Okay, and it will give you the steps in a much more clear sort of way. And I would love for us to leave today with at least a rough kind of draft of our matchstick testimony. Okay, so please give it a go. I honestly don't share something you're not comfortable to share. All right, but this is the kind of the conversion point testimony. So if you want me to put up the early conversion version. I can leave that up, whatever you like. Talk to me, guys, it's okay. No. Leave that one up. Okay, I'll leave the early conversion one up. This one kind of covers the other stuff. I've got some paper, hopefully we can hand out. Do I have any glamorous assistants?
We have an old
assistant. still glamorous. Thanks, Karen. Then will you do the honours? We might have one between two if we're lucky. I also have pencils. You can do it in pen if you're feeling confident, or if you just prefer pen, that's okay. It's rare I ask people to write in pencil. Okay, so what I'm going to suggest is that you maybe take this away and have a go at it in home, or you can sit and continue it now, but what I'm just gonna, you know, I'm just gonna close the meeting officially so that, that those of you who want to maybe sit with a cup of tea or coffee and fill it in, you may do so. So I just want to really, close with a quote. Well, actually I've got two closing points. Just this quote from C.S. Lewis, and this has hugely inspired me sort of over the past, year. I read this quote that says, "My prayer is that when I die, all of hell rejoices that I am out of the fight. And I don't know if you think it's a bit cheesy, but I personally find it hugely inspiring, this idea that actually we should be glorifying God so much, we should be shining his light all the time to the point where actually when we're gone, you know, below, they should be thinking, oh, thank goodness, okay, we've got one less light shining in the world, okay? Oh yeah, true. Thank badness. True, true. They'd probably use very different words. So anyway, take no shame in the gospel. And I just want to inspire you that, you know, we can get really scared about sharing testimony and being really explicit in our Christian walk with God. And I just want to inspire you, because I hadn't thought of this until a couple of weeks ago, when someone was pointed this out to me and said, you know, in Ephesians, Paul asks, you know, Paul, the guy in, you know, all the New Testament, who we think of as such an incredibly bold man, he asks them to pray for him to be bold. All right, so we kind of think of, amazing, Paul, he was fearless. All right, he took all this persecution, blah, 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 but he still asked for prayer for boldness. So if you sometimes feel a little bit nervous, then that's okay, even Paul did, okay? So let's pray together, please, for boldness, okay? So, Lord God, we really thank you that you give us opportunities to glorify you, and that you you give us the Spirit to intercede for us each day and in our suffering. And I thank you, Lord God, that the Spirit will help us to speak when you want to use a situation for your goodness, Lord. But I pray that you will help us to be brave and to be well thought out in how we share your word and your goodness with the people around us. Give us opportunities, I pray. I pray that next week we might hear stories, little testimonies of how they've used their testimonies to glorify you, Lord. In Jesus' name, boldness on everyone in here. In Jesus' name, amen.